The word for our consideration this morning for our sermon is found again in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given to us this sure and certain word, so that we might know your Son, who he is, that he is of you, that he is God from God, and light from light, true God from true God. We pray today as we hear these words that you would strengthen our faith and set us apart for yourself through him, that we might be with you forever. Shower your grace upon us through these words and encourage us in these dark times with the light of life and the message of salvation in the Christ child. Set us apart for yourself by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, Christmas time Christians, this is a sign. I hope I won't get in trouble for pulling this out of the ground in front of the church this morning, but I needed a sign. It tells would-be burglars that there's an alarm system here in the church and that it's probably not worth getting caught. Signs are a part of everyday life. Without them, driving would be very dangerous. People wouldn't know when to stop or how fast to drive. Okay, maybe that's not the best example right now, but you take my meaning. There's a reason that we put up decorations in our church each year, each December. And it's not just because we like them and they're pretty. They are our signs for ourselves, remembrances that Christ, our Savior, was born. And of themselves, they have no power. We must look at them and remember what they mean. But when God makes a sign, it has power. Because what God says must happen. It always will happen just the way he has in mind. This morning, consider the angel's statement regarding the Christ child. This will be a sign, the Lord said. God had been empowering that statement for a long time, not just so that it had meaning when we remember it, but so that it brought about what he had promised. The signs of his coming were clear. The prophecies had foretold his birth. Even the town, even his parents' genealogies. The signs of his coming were clear. The angels in that rude shepherd's stall, the swaddling and the star above, the signs of his coming were clear. The child grew up to preach the truth, to miraculously heal the sick and give sight to the blind and speech to the mute and walking to the lame. Those signs attended his ministry. There are the signs of his passion and crucifixion and tomb and his glorious resurrection and ascension. All of these were clear signs. These signs clearly pointed to his saving mission And they were more than just signs. These things had divine power with them because they were God's word. Whenever God speaks, his word carries with it the power to accomplish what he has in mind, because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. At the beginning, when Adam and Eve dared to disobey the word of God and follow the serpent's lie instead, God's word empowered death to enter into their lives and begin its cruel work as a sign. As we consider our lives this morning, think about what we know God has said and what his words mean and how we have disobeyed them. We haven't listened to the only true God, but we have often disobeyed him, and so as we confess, we deserve his wrath and punishment. See, the sign of death is there right alongside our first parents. See that sign and know that as we are by nature, there's no hope. But death is not the only sign there in Eden. God made a promise to the serpent, actually. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That promise brought with it faith and hope and love, for God had promised there to Adam and Eve, standing nearby, a savior from sin, a reconciler between God and men, the sacrifice of blood for the atonement of the world. And that first promise, think about the power that it carried with it. It drove the events of the old world for thousands of years, past the great flood, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was also called Israel, through Moses and the judges and the kings, especially King David, from whom Mary and Joseph both descended. The prophets added details as time went on, so that when the angels proclaimed, "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger," those shepherds knew what that meant. Maybe not in tremendous detail, but they knew that they had been swept up into God's great plan as witnesses of his divine mercy. That's why they came and worshiped there in that stable. But there were yet more signs. God did not stop there so that they would know and we would know that Jesus is none other than God in the flesh. God's word was fulfilled in Jesus' miracles. It identified who he was beyond a shadow of a doubt. God's law was fulfilled in Christ's passion and crucifixion and death. There remains nothing to do to win salvation for you and me. God offers it so freely to us that he has commanded that we Christians proclaim until his return the gracious forgiveness of all sins. Even now, his powerful word is at work in your hearts and in mine, creating and sustaining faith so that we can trust him. But he is not unsympathetic to the weakness of our nature. He knows. Even now, he reassures us that we, by God's grace, believe. He reassures us that we believe what we believe, and that it is the truth. Look at Jesus' life, perfect and righteous. Look at God's gospel fulfilled in the resurrection and the ascension. Death could not hold him, and you are now in him. So death cannot hold you. Your life is hidden and covered in Christ's, so that that curse of sin and death is overturned. Even as we think on his birth, he directs us to the fulfillment of all of his promises, and he has promised to return. He gave clear signs so that we would know how soon it would be. The signs of his return are clear. This world is winding down, even as evil winds up. There are wars, rumors of wars, troubles, suffering, disease, poverty, pain, death. All of that continues, as we all well know. So a lot of times around Christmas, we're shooting for a feeling so that we can turn our attention from the sad things of this world. We look for a feeling of cheer and nostalgia. But the best that we can do often falls short because we fall short of the glory of God. The red and the green, the shiny ornaments, the best Christmases gradually fade as we begin to detach from this world until finally we take leave of it all. If the trappings are the source of our joy, then it's short-lived indeed. But the joy we find as Christians is the joy of hearing Jesus' promise that does not fade. He is coming back. He will bring an end to the darkness of this world. He will lead us to places brighter with God's love and goodness than we have ever known in this world. In the meantime, we're tempted either to be depressed or to live in some kind of ginned-up deception that allows us to not pay attention to reality. But God would not have it so. He wants you to have real joy, lasting joy, even everlasting joy. That's what He wants for you. And that requires that you be released from sin's grip, from death's tomb, from Satan's power. Here again, the signs of His presence are clear. God's word of forgiveness down through time to us. He forgave Adam and Eve their sins. He freely forgave the Israelites, though time and again they sinned against Him. He forgave them through the judges and the prophets and rescued them many times, and He kept pointing them ahead to Christ. Now today is only different in that the Lord points us back to Christ. His word of forgiveness points us back to that cross, back to that perfect life of Jesus that paid for our sins. His word of forgiveness is not just for us to know with our minds. It is not inert and powerless so that we have to think about it in order for it to be effective. No, His word of forgiveness brings with it the power to do what He says. You have His forgiveness. You are forgiven. God puts it upon you and into you with His word, and He gives you a new birth into a resurrected race, dear brothers and sisters of Christ. And likewise, God has placed another sign among us, water with His word, giving life and forgiveness. Holy baptism does now also save you, Paul says. It is a powerful thing that gives faith to those who do not have it and strengthens the faith of those who already believe, but it is not magic. Just as with the word of forgiveness, God does not force us to love Him. He powerfully invites us and encourages us. He would have faith in your heart, but He won't force it. And finally, there is God's sign that is bread and wine, His body and blood. This sign is for those of you who know that you are sinners in need of salvation, in need of His forgiveness. This sign is for those who believe that what Christ said is true, that it is a remembrance, and more than that, that it is forgiveness. It brings not only a remembrance of His sacrifice, but that powerful gift of forgiveness. That's what it's for, the remission of sins. Even more importantly, it brings forgiveness, life, and salvation because Jesus said so. God said it. Christianity is not a religion that's about interpreting signs and portents and omens and that sort of thing. It's not about speculations and theories. It's about hearing what the only true God says and paying attention to what He means. It's about humbling ourselves before Him who created us, who sustains us, who provides for us so that we may hear Him and His word, His promises, so that we may see His signs and know that He loves us. May God grant this Christmas that we see the signs, the sure signs of our salvation, the Christ child wrapped in swaddling in the manger in Bethlehem, our Savior upon the cross, our Savior returning on the clouds to rescue us. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. You may be seated.